understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
I'm Craig Scheman with Pete Shepherd, Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Huey Lewis in the news as Chris continues to spin the stacks of wax with our 80s rejoins today. Luis Garcia getting ready to pitch for the Astros against the Rays in the ALCS. Astros trying to stay alive, the Rays with a 3-1 series lead. Again, we're all rooting for the Rays, most of us anyway.
Yeah.
Get into the World Series in the unthinkable, strange 2020 season. See how this goes. And then later on tonight, Clayton Kershaw, who couldn't go a couple nights ago, apparently his back is better. He will pitch for the Dodgers after they put the beatdown on the Braves last night. 11 runs in the first inning, 15 overall. See if they can stay hot offensively as well.
Yeah, let me get this out. Well, a bit of sad news. Our colleague in the broadcast business, and he's been on the show before, I think more than once, but ESPN's NFL Nation reporter for the Atlanta Falcons, Vaughn McClure, died today at his home. He was 48 years old. Great, great guy. I think he used to cover the Hawks as well back in the day, but he's been on the show at least once, maybe twice, but
yeah.
Very well-respected guy. Everybody loved him, known for his big infectious hugs, but what a shame. Rest in peace, my friend, 48 years old. Wow, what a year this has been.
That stinks, yeah. All right, with that, don't forget, we've got Kevin Todd coming up at the bottom of the hour, pros versus Joes. Pete and I actually have a half-game lead on him at this point after 3 weeks.
5-3-1 we are against 5-4.
5-4. All right, so he'll be on at the bottom. In the meantime, it's time for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
All right, Josh Tolentino covers the Dolphins for The Athletic. He is reporting Le'Veon Bell has narrowed his choices down to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. How about that? The Falcons shut down their facility today after one member of the organization tested positive for COVID. They said it was out of an abundance of caution. That's the same reason the Browns sent Odell Beckham Jr. home. He's just sick. But again, abundance of caution. Tonight, 99.3 ESPN, we are going to have Game 4 NLCS Dodgers Braves starting at 7:30, and they are underway. Top of the first, 0-0 ALCS Game 5.
Okay. Again, Le'Veon Bell is what we're keeping our eye on. So he decided to eliminate the team that he could get the most carries and win with the Bills.
It's kind of the middle ground of the two.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, I get it, defending champions, but they're pretty set at running back. I don't know how many carries he'd get over there. And he wouldn't be the young guy either. The Dolphins?
No, he comes onto the Dolphins, he immediately becomes their number one back. But all due respect to Gaskin and Breda. I mean, Breda, it's a great 1-2 punch.
I like it.
1-2-3 punch.
And I think we're unanimous on this show. In Rio, we think he should go to Miami.
Yep.
His, I don't want to say best attribute because he's really good at a lot of different things, but his ability to catch the ball to the backfield is one of the best running back has ever been in the NFL, at least statistically, where – you know, right now the Dolphins, they kind of show their hand based on the personnel that they have. You know, if Breida's in the game, unless they're facing a really light box, they're gonna be throwing the ball. Jordan Howard, who was actually inactive, a healthy scratch on Sunday against San Francisco, if he's in the game, we're running the ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gaskin was like, he was the only running back on that roster where it wasn't a clear tipping of the hand because he could kind of do both.
Yep.
Neither really well, but he could do both.
I mean, he was the leading rusher on the team with 192 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry, and he started two games, but no touchdowns. Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is the second leading rusher on the team right now. Brady is third.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Not good.
I think it's just another weapon for Miami, and man, if you're...
And from Le'Veon Bell's perspective, there's probably not a future contract waiting for you with the Chiefs.
Right.
I mean, they've got Allaire on the rookie deal. Like, they're gonna run him a lot, they should.
They have a lot. They're not in salary cap hell, but they've spent
But
a
in
lot
Miami,
of money.
You know, you go in and basically give yourself a 10-game audition or 9, you know, because you probably won't play this weekend. So you give yourself a 9-game audition with the Finns, who have enough salary cap space going into the offseason where you develop that relationship and it becomes an easier sell for the Miami Dolphins.
Wouldn't that be sweet if they could have signed him last week and then play a revenge game against the Jets?
That would have been great.
That would have been sweet.
But, I mean, Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator, must be big smiling at the possibility. That's, you know, a possibility. But it certainly seems like the Dolphins are offering the most money. Certainly
yeah.
seems that way.
Yeah.
And you bring him in and you get that edge on the New York Jets.
Sure. With him standing
so if
on
he
the sideline.
So if he does, if he's on the team, which he would, I'm assuming he wouldn't play this weekend, but if he, the spread's already 9.5, what would it be if he was already on the team? 12? Is he worth 2 points?
I don't think he plays this week.
No, no, he wouldn't. I'm saying if he was already, what would the line be?
I don't think running backs really affect the line,
no,
right?
No, I think it would.
Maybe a name
would.
Like that.
I think it would a little bit. You'd see more money go on Miami.
Well, all right, so we'll keep an eye on that. We're down to two.
According to reports.
I believe the reports.
There have been multiple reports, though, with the Dolphins and the Chiefs involved.
Yes. Also, college football, the SEC commissioner has thrown down the hammer. Says, listen, guys, don't screw up with this COVID stuff. Take it seriously. We're going to start penalizing teams. Sounds like they're going to be tougher with their penalties than the NFL is or weren't against the Titans.
Yep.
Let's check in, Chris, with Nick Saban. We heard from him. We know that about this time yesterday, we found out that he got the bid. Here's Nick Saban. He says, everything's been kind of a tight bubble around here and that he doesn't know exactly where he got the COVID.
Well, I feel fine, so I'm not really concerned that much about my health, but you never know. You know, I just want to make – look, I basically feel like, when we're in our own personal bubble here, I think everybody's in a much safer place. I think as soon as you travel, you get exposed to a lot more things and a lot more people, if that makes any sense. Even though I've worn a mask on the sidelines, I wear a mask all the time in the hotel. On the bus, in the plane. So nobody really knows, how this occurs.
All right, that's Nick Saban again. He was practicing. He had an assistant hold up a phone so he could see the plays and tell him to do that one over.
Yeah.
But he will not be able to do that in the game. The rules stipulate that the only communication could be from the press box to the sideline. That's it.
Hold on. Big Quinn, do not compare the Miami Dolphins to the New York Jets. Do not do that. The dysfunction in New York cannot be matched by the Miami Dolphins. All right? Just don't even do it.
I think he'd be a good fit for Miami. I think he wouldn't be a locker room issue with Flores there. You know
what it is? It's people not understanding that teams can change and they can – a bad franchise can become a good franchise.
Really? Because it can happen. I'm waiting for that to happen in Detroit.
It doesn't have to happen, but it can happen. Good teams can become bad. Bad teams can become good. Okay. It's not like you're stuck in the same position for eternity.
All right.
It doesn't work that way.
I wouldn't know. Chris, I wouldn't know. I'm sorry. You just blathered
it's just
about
frustrating.
Something that, I don't even know what you said.
It's just frustrating.
I think guys like Le'Veon Bell would do well in Miami. They would do well in Kansas City. They'd do well in New England. And a lot of other guys. People can change depending on the atmosphere that they are put in. And I know what happened in Pittsburgh. It doesn't look good for him.
I don't think that was being a bad teammate.
But he's trying to, with the two sides to every story.
He's trying to get paid.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He was trying to get his money and lock up long-term security. That's all he was not Antonio Brown.
No.
No, not
at
all.
Close to that.
And Antonio Brown would still be with the Patriots had it not been for his other legal issues. And
it's texting the woman suing you with your lawyer on it.
That's what I mean, other legal issues.
If it was, who was it, Big Quinn?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's play the soundbite of Adam Gase. Well, again, remember the Dolphins got rid of this guy, and now he's in charge of the Jets, and he really has no idea why Le'Veon Bell didn't work out in New York.
You know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. You know, we're going to have to, as our team moving forward to Miami, that's the number one concern for us right now.
You think he can still be a productive back in the league?
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and. You know, we'll see what happens.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, but Adam, when a team makes a free agent investment that large and it ends before two seasons, I think the fans are interested in knowing why it didn't work out with a player of that stature.
Yeah, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, and we're going to focus on this game right now.
On to Miami. Yeah. Both of them. Game plan for the Jets and Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell now looking like he may come to Miami.
Snooty Pooch on the text. I say, Pete, you're saying Antonio Brown can change, so there's a chance he plays again. LOL. No, I'm saying, and I hated the move when he went to the Patriots because I said something will happen. It'll come back to bite him in the butt, and it did. Legal issues. And, yeah, had it not been for legal issues, he would still be a Patriot, but I'm convinced there would have been more legal issues somewhere along the way, and it was only a matter of time. That's my feeling with Antonio Brown. It was only a matter of time. In that particular case, unlike Pittsburgh and the Raiders, it only took a week or two.
Antonio Brown will be a Dolphin now. You're going to add him next.
No.
No?
I mean.
This is where he'd like to play. He has a home here.
I wouldn't hate it.
He'd be great for a week.
He'd be great for a week.
Can you imagine him and Le'Veon Bell on the same team for a week?
Yes, I can. I saw that story once. They used to play for the Steelers together.
Yeah, weren't bad.
Worked pretty well.
Man, I feel bad for some of these Texers, man. I feel really bad for them.
Why?
They're just stuck in their ways. That's all it is.
They're criticizing you.
No, they're not criticizing me. They're criticizing the fact that I'm saying that teams can change over a period of time, that hiring a competent general manager and a solid head coach can actually result in wins. They don't think that because they're fans of the Lions.
I remember doing. I was on the air the day the Patriots made the trade for Welker and then and signed Randy Moss. I thought Welker was a steal after what he did to the Patriots over the years, and to give up only a second round pick for him. But I had no idea. I had mixed emotions about Randy Moss coming to the Patriots because of his past reputation. And I was always one of those, I don't care. He's going to disrupt the team. Kind of like Antonio Brown, but not there yet. And I was dead wrong. Same thing with Corey Dillon. Bad, bad reputation coming over. And it worked out.
They lined up with the Patriot way. They weren't going to fool around with Belichick.
Well, yeah, it worked out.
All you need to look at with Adam Gase is the cavalcade of talent that left Miami and went on to do better after getting out from Adam Gase's play calling disaster.
Cavalcade, good
absolute
word.
Disaster.
How do you spell Ryan that? Tannehill's become one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Fact. He has. And not only that.
I told you guys that last year.
He never looked like a leader in Miami.
The year before.
Never.
Year before.
He looked like a scared puppy in Miami. And he looks like a leader. And to me, that's coaching and confidence and just a different attitude that the Titans have that when he was with the Dolphins, not even close.
Well, okay, you say he looks scared in Miami.
Yeah.
But it's because a guy maybe had no confidence in the incompetence of Adam Gase.
I agree, but that's what I'm saying. But that's why you get on to another organization that's competent and things can change in a hurry.
I mean, how's Sam Darnold seeing ghosts?
Yes, I know. Now, I'd love to see Sam Darnold on a really good team.
Think about how much better Peyton Manning could have been in Denver if he didn't have that clown calling his play. Peyton just took over. Right? He was calling the shots down there. Not Adam, but Adam made two NFL head coaching contracts off of Peyton Manning.
Fact. Well, he may have made one off of Cutler.
He really ruined two franchises, if you think about it. The Dolphins made the playoffs under Adam Gase.
Because he had a great quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Tannehill covered up his mistakes.
He got hurt.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt.
And Jay Cutler is your answer?
Mm-hmm. Matt Moore. Going into Pittsburgh, keeping the game close for a half.
What happened to Matt? Is he out of the league now?
He was a
scrappy backup.
That game was a lot closer than people remember.
He was a backup in Kansas City last year, was it?
Did he get a ring?
Didn't he play when, or am I thinking of Chad Henne? One of them played behind Mahomes last year when he dislocated his knee.
I don't remember.
Let's see, Matt Moore last year. He was with he's with Kansas City now.
Hey, yeah. How about that?
Nice. Your memory again. Still,
he got a ring. Yep. Good for him.
Yeah, how about that?
Matt Moore, great Dolphins quarterback.
Still one of the hardest hits I've ever seen a quarterback
from
take
Matt Moore from
the U. No. I don't know.
UConn.
No. No, about 3,000 miles from here.
San Diego.
Nope. Further away.
Hawaii.
No, not...
Washington.
Oregon State.
Oh, okay. How about that? Okay,
was,
how about that?
I was kind of going in the wrong direction. All right, very good. All right, boys and girls, it's money-making time. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk with Kevin Todd, little pros versus Joes from the sportsbrokers.com.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. And don't forget this Sunday afternoon. What do we figure? The combined age, 79 years between the two quarterbacks. We got Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady head-to-head, Packers and Bucks, right here on your radio home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 99.3 ESPN, Gene Deckerhoff and Company, starting at 3:30, kickoff at 4:25. The Buccaneers all season long on 99.3 ESPN, brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay, Signs in One Day in Fort Myers off Alico Road, Creel Tractor, and My Shower Door. Want to see more? Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. It's Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. A George Springer home run has the Astros up over the Rays. That is in the second inning right now. Rays batting. All right, let's have some fun. Hey,
look, Chris pulling the Greg King band out of his butt today with
I only play good music,
wow,
guys.
That's
I don't know
first.
Why you don't
sometimes
get that.
By
wow.
Accident.
Your classical music tastes are going up. You're playing tunes like a 30-year-old, even though you're not only 29.
Let's have some fun. Pros versus Joes. Our friend Kevin Todd back with us in his usual Thursday 5:30 spot. Of course, he's from thesportsbrokers.com. We have a tight race between he and us. It's like the presidential race. I mean, it's going down to the wire here. Kevin, how are you?
Hi, Kevin.
Guys, I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good.
How's the weather over there, by the way?
Spectacular.
Sunny in 82, 85. Nice breeze.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful. Yesterday was like 51 and raining, and today it's nice. 66
where you at?
Sunny. I'm in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, Kevin, you're an angler, aren't you? You like to get out on the water and fish?
Yeah. That's correct. In the summer... I work in the Florida Keys as a charter boat captain on a 50-foot sport fish.
Okay, nice. So we run a fishing report, and the captain talks about using watermelon lures. These guys thought that you go get watermelon and go fishing with it.
Is that right?
Well, they were not specific.
There's a bit of a faux pas, but it happens.
Well, listen, when I come back in April, you guys definitely have to come. The boat's at Marathon at Hawks Cay. Are you familiar with that?
Love that place.
Yes. Love that place.
That's where I have the boat, and I'm the captain out of there. And definitely, I'll take you guys fishing because I know where they live.
Awesome.
Man, you got a good life. You fish, you gamble. I mean, that's it. That's good.
Listen, I mean, life is good.
That's it.
People ask me, are you married? I go, no, my wife is.
Oh, are you married? Do the Jeff Goldblum? Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah, exactly, occasionally.
All right, now, we had that one push in week one, so we are sitting at 5-3-1. Kevin at 5-4 right now, so and making a lot of money on the Vikings, I noticed. That's pretty
time.
Good. All right, so Pete, why don't you give him our first game and get this ball started here?
All right, our first game, and because of Nick Saban, it's going. The line has gone down to 4. I still would have. I think Greg and I came to a consensus, even if it was at 6. But right now, it's Alabama. -4. I'm all over it. You don't see the Crimson Tide get a line that low. You just don't. And Georgia's tough. Their defense, and they're one of the best teams in the country, I have no doubt. But this is way too good an opportunity to pass up. You got to jump on it now, just in case it goes back up. Yeah. Nick Saban, I don't think has to be on the bench for this one. I don't buy into the fact that the Crimson Tide are going to be lax, or they're going to think they can get away with stuff under Sarkisian. Too much power here. Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Brian Robinson. I mean, Jalen Waddle, Mechie the third, Devontae Smith. They can't stop everybody. We are going to take Alabama minus four here.
All right. Kevin, your first pick of the day.
Well, my first pick of the day is going to be tomorrow night, a Friday matchup, BYU at Houston. BYU, gentlemen, is only 7-18 against the spread as a road favorite, including 2-10 against the spread their last 14 of 4 points or more on the road. Houston's getting 5.5. I like Houston in this matchup. I think they could keep the game close and maybe even possibly win at the end. I'm going to take the 5.5 here with Houston tomorrow night.
All right, very good. Great, by the way, check out numbers. Kevin Todd at thesportsbrokers.com. His phone number, 888-320-7517. All right, Pete, what's our second game?
Our second game is going to go to Monday night, and we love the over in the Arizona-Dallas game, over 55. I mean, do I have to say any more? I don't know how. I mean, I think Andy Dalton's going to do very well with the Cowboys. Certainly put up enough points to throw that total way over because I think the Cardinals will score as well. They're going to put up 30-plus. I think that game flies over the total. Greg and I both do, so we like the Cardinals and the Cowboys over 55 on Monday night.
All right. Kevin, what's your second pick?
In college football Saturday, Central Florida travels to Memphis. I'm going to take Central Florida here in the matchup, the lane three. Memphis is 4-10, their last 14 against the spread. And let me tell you, Central Florida has won the last 13 times these two teams have played. Plus the fact when Central Florida is a favorite and they play Memphis, they're 7-3 their last 10, 70% against the spread. I love Central Florida in this matchup, laying the three. I think they win this game by at least a touchdown or more, and we get the cover there.
All right, very good. Mm. And there could be a lot of points in that one, right? I mean, usually with
Memphis. Yeah. They both teams average about 500 yards a game.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And again, check out Kevin Todd at thesportsbrokers.com, 888-320-7517. All right, Pete, our third and final selection.
Yeah, and it looks like a dangling carrot game, and we might get this one wrong, like a lot of people got Buffalo wrong with Tennessee and all of us did. I mean, not knowing 16 days. But I love the Rams. We love the Rams at minus 3.5. The 49ers seem like a hot mess. Jimmy Garoppolo looked like he didn't even belong in the league last week. And, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of character and soul searching the 49ers need to do. They got that Super Bowl hangover we've seen so many times. I think the Rams are playing really well at minus 3.5. We are going to go with the Rams here, minus 3.5 at San Fran on Sunday night.
All right. And Kevin, your final pick?
Well, I'm going to go with the Eagles at home, plus the 8. As you know, they went on the road, and they beat San Francisco when they were a big underdog of 9 points. This Philadelphia team, they're not that bad. They're playing at home. They're catching more than a touchdown. I say they keep this game close. I'm not saying they're going to win the game outright. I think they could cover the number of plus 8 because they're 5-1 at home as an underdog. I'm going to take here Philly plus the 8.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Again, Kevin Todd at thesportsbrokers.com, 888-320-7517. If people call that number right now, Kevin, what are they going to hear?
They're going to hear that I'm releasing my college football game of the year on Saturday. It's on my show. That's going to be on your station on Saturday.
Yep.
Everybody who calls, gentlemen, I'm giving them the game of the year absolutely free. This is the only game they need to bet on Saturday because I'm telling you right now, last weekend, with all those dogs winning in the NFL, the public took a bloodbath. This is the situation why they need a professional like myself to help them out. They give me a call at 888-320-7517. I'm going to give them the game absolutely free. The only game they need to bet on Saturday is my game of the year.
All right.
Awesome.
Sounds fantastic. Good luck to you. We'll be in touch next week. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Gentlemen. Thanks, gentlemen. I'll speak to you next week.
You got all right, it. Kev. Good all luck. Right.
Kevin Todd, our pros and Joes segment, pros versus Joes segment. All right.
And he, you know, we call them GOIs. But game of the years are that's big.
Yeah,
and giving it out for free, that's a big play. There are a lot of pros do this for a living that would pay for game of the year stuff $200, $300, $400, $500 for a pick like that.
All right, very good. How about Chris throwing us under the bus with the watermelon comment?
It's really, really uncalled for.
We're trying to develop this relationship with Kevin, and I feel like humor's a good way for guys to bond.
I know, but you're like the guys at school that made fun of other people to make them small in order to feel big. That's what happened right there.
No, I've always said putting somebody down doesn't make you any taller.
Well, that's what you did.
But that's not that's not who I am. I was that kid in middle school, and I look back. I don't like middle school, Chris. I've said that on air.
You were a jerk? You were the one making fun of everybody?
I was terrible in middle school.
I could see it.
Awful.
Did you get beat up?
No, he was the one to be making fun of the kids.
Nobody
that, you know,
fought
were
back.
Not cool.
Never physical.
Nobody stuffed never her in a locker after
no,
somebody
because
gags.
He was a bully.
That's what it means. But in the end, you get three or four guys to shove you in a locker. And
no,
leave.
I'm smart. I know who to pick on and know.
She picked on all the nerdy kids that, you know.
I'm not proud of it. I don't like middle
you
school.
You found all the kids wearing tube socks that didn't get put in a game till the sixth inning, and then you picked on them verbally, abusively.
I mean, I wouldn't put it like that. I was not a nice kid.
Nobody,
but I don't think a lot of kids are very nice in middle school.
It is the toughest age, I think.
I feel so bad for kids in middle
school.
When
did you become nice, quote unquote?
About halfway through high school, I kind of realized, people don't like you, Chris.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And well, you went to a small school, so everybody hated you.
There were people that liked me, but there was a group that didn't.
Yeah.
And I think by senior year, I kind of won most everybody
over.
Did you
throw the olive branch out and kind of show your maturity and that you were a friend for life,
right.
Classmate?
One of those guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Real mensch.
Yeah, yeah. Any of those people call our show?
No, we did have a kid I played basketball with. His dad has called in a few times.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know his dad's name, but his kid's name was Zach.
Well, how were you as a teammate during all this?
He's a me guy. He's a Keyshawn guy.
I was very much a Michael Jordan.
No, okay, stop this. This is not. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
Punch a teammate in the nose to get a message across. No, I'm kidding.
Are you that guy the coach said, "Hey, Chris, start running. I'll tell you when to stop."
I've had that happen. More on the baseball team than the basketball team.
What about
but,
football? You played football.
I didn't play football.
Right.
He wasn't tough enough to play football.
Our school didn't have a football team.
in Florida, how is that possible?
We were a small school. My graduating class was 46.
Mine was 612.
Well,
mine was about
that's how we rolled in Carmel. Chicken Salad says, "I just saw that Coors makes a seltzer now. I've lost all hope in society." Why would Coors make a seltzer?
Because of the water in Colorado. I mean, it makes sense.
Bud Light makes a seltzer.
Coors Light is light enough. Why are we going to seltzer?
Is the seltzer meaning is actually alcohol in it, or is it strictly, like Schweppes seltzer? Is it really like just club soda, or is it actually
I assumed it was alcoholic. Maybe I made an assumption prematurely.
Yeah, maybe it's just the brand, you know?
No, it's an alcoholic seltzer. It's a hard seltzer.
Okay.
Like Bud Light and Corona.
Well, I'm saying,
done. It's a huge market. It's exploding.
Anti-Pete guy says, if it makes you feel any better, nobody likes anyone from Canterbury.
Yeah, I've picked up on that.
Is that the name of your school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're a bunch of jerks.
Why is that?
Why?
Well, there's a connotation that goes with being
spoiled?
A Canterbury. Yeah. Not all of us, but there's definitely a few.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, we were a public school in Carmel, but we were looked upon like that.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't win a lot of sporting events, but we'd always get the, we're going to college chant going at the end of it to make ourselves feel better.
Everybody hated the Carmel kids because they were the quote-unquote wealthy kids, and we won state championships on top of that, so we were really
So in Canterbury, and I'm not sure because you guys didn't read Shakespeare or anything else, I'm assuming, did you ever read the Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey?
Oh, absolutely. We read Shakespeare. Yeah, we read Shakespeare.
Oh, you did. But did you ever read Canterbury Tales with Geoffrey Chaucer?
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of individual fables
sophomore type
stories.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the trip. It was like a journey, right?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of. Yeah. Okay.
Whoa! That's impressive. This segment took a highbrow turn. This is not for our show. This is not what we do.
Imagine studying English lit classics, Craig.
I'm learned.
Wow. Very good. Oh, bases are juiced for the Rays in the second. Dusty Baker's looking nervous.
Two outs.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Put the cart before the horse.
All right. Well, just keep it an eye. Things are happening.
It's a Canterbury Tales reference.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No. Delusional Harbaugh, who I believe is an official. Chris is probably one of the type of kids I used to tee up.
Oh, absolutely. I got multiple tees. Multiple tees.
And your coach let go on without disciplining you?
Nope. My coach did not like that. I got multiple tees. But when he got thrown out of a game against Gateway Charter for yelling at students in at the other school, he pretty much lost all credibility at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I remember you saying that. You tell us that story.
Oh, even Faith hates Canterbury. She says when she was in fifth grade, she was on the basketball team. And also in a small private school in North Fort Myers. And the only game that I ever hated playing was against Canterbury because they were a bunch of spoiled, whiny brats.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
it's, you nailed it. yeah.
That's too bad. How was your team?
In basketball?
Yeah.
Pretty mediocre. My my freshman year, we had like an exodus. So it was a lot of freshmen with one seniors playing varsity. I think we won four games that year.
Yeah.
But by my senior year, we were solid 500 basketball team. Solid. No
progress.
I think we were 19 and – no, we didn't finish with a winning record because we lost in the opening round of the districts. But we finished 18 and 19, I think, my senior year.
Where was the furthest you used to – you had to travel?
Everglades City was pretty far away.
That must have been a beating.
More – Everglades City?
Yeah.
They were awful.
Oh, really?
Oh,
one of the games you won?
Oh,
well, if
every
you travel,
year.
Might, you know, you're not...
We brought the JV kids along for that game because it was just, it wasn't competitive.
Yeah. Wow.
And then Moorhaven was a good little, they were in our district, so we made that trip. I made that trip twice a year.
Hmm. Tales of Chris.
What? I'm just saying.
Just connecting the dots, painting the picture a little
better. Just saying.
Yeah, things are starting to.
We got a long fly ball to right field. Warning track, going to be short. Bases loaded and three left on base. Still 1-0 Astros over the Rays early on in the ALCS. If you missed any of the show today, be sure to download Sheeman and Shepherd on demand. Get it at 993ESPN.com on the free 993ESPN app or wherever you get your podcast. Sheeman and Shepherd, what you got next? Sheeman and Shepherd on 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. On this day in history, October 15th, we're right to the midpoint of October already. Unbelievable. Just flying through this calendar, getting this 2020 year over as soon as possible. On this day in 1945, baseball had an attendance record of just over 10 million people. You know, after World War II, people got into baseball. The Tigers led the way with 1.28. Love their baseball in Motown. In 1969, the Madison Square Garden Network began with a Rangers-North Stars game.
Yeah.
Also in 1969 on this day, Earl Weaver became the first manager to be tossed from a World Series game in 60 years. This is funny. In 1980, George Brett of the Royals... Remember, he was a scratch from the World Series. Do you remember why?
Against the Phillies in 1980, it was Michael Jack Schmidt hitting a big home runner. Why he was a scratch? Was he late?
No, no, no. Hemorrhoids.
Oh, I do remember that.
Hemorrhoids so bad he couldn't play.
I do remember that.
How about that?
And that was they had finally beat the Yankees in the ALCS after losing to them in 77 and 78 to get to the World Series.
Yeah.
I think the Phillies swept them, but still.
What a pain in the ass. Hemorrhoids. 1987, the NFL Players Association ended their 24-day strike. All that happened on this day, on the 15th of October in history. Pete Shepard, what you got?
Well, Twitter just totally, completely crashed. So usually I wait to the last second to get my what you got.
So you got nothing.
I'll tell you tonight, there's a pretty interesting college football game out there. Arkansas State and Georgia State.
Yeah. You all in?
I'm going to take the points here with this one, Georgia State plus 3.5. How about that?
Okay.
And got screwed last night. I didn't get screwed last night. It was a bad, I thought Louisiana, Coastal Carolina, this just in. They're undefeated. They'll be ranked this week. They're good.
Yeah. The Chanticleers, are they? No?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Very good. All right. Crystal ball. What you got for us tonight?
Pete stole my pick.
Oh, damn it.
Georgia State plus the 3 against Arkansas State. Well, and okay. I want to defend myself. And, no, I'm just going to defend me. Chris, been a long time. It's your buddy, say Ricky. We played Little League Baseball together. You never acted spoiled as a little kid, even if you went to the Berry. How about that? Not spoiled Canterbury kid right here.
Change his name on the Twitter line, the 239. He just earned himself a nickname.
Yeah.
His name, Ricky. He's Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
You got screwed on your overpick last night. Two missed extra
points.
Oh,
my gosh.
Two missed extra points in the first two touchdowns that each team scored.
Or if he just misses the kick at the end of the game, we go to OT. Somebody's got to score a touchdown, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right. Well, since Pete didn't have anything because his Twitter went down and Chris's pick was stolen, now all of a sudden I got 3 minutes to fill. How'd that work out? Now, Chris, you're still using that same pick as Pete for your tally, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing worse than when Twitter goes down. It's so informative nowadays. But
between Twitter and Facebook over the last 24 hours, it's been a little, I'm not going to get into the politics, but it's been a little interesting.
Up and down.
They've been doing a lot of censoring.
Yeah, it's been up and down.
Yeah.
So. Claims, lies, innuendo, hearsay. Uncrustable says, my birthday was yesterday. I just turned 40. I think I heard you earlier say your birthday is right around the corner and you're going to be 30. Well, happy birthday, Uncrustable.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Ricky says, man, I listen every day on the way to work. Just put it together. It was
That's the Ricky baseball player.
Oh. He was very good baseball player.
You remember him?
Very good baseball player. Yeah, yeah. Huh. I don't know if he went to play college ball, but at least when I played with him, he was very good, yes.
Another 239 says, just wanted to say, I listen about every day. You all are the best. I get a good laugh out of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, 239.
That's what we're here for. Laugh at us.
Appreciate it.
bring a little joy to your world. As we all make it to 5 o'clock here on tomorrow's
six
Friday.
6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, 6 o'clock.
Uncrustable, don't feel uneasy and nervous about being 40. I'm telling you, man, I went to Myrtle Beach for my 40th birthday. Ocean Annie's, one of my favorite bars ever. Not to mention played on three incredible golf courses. And Pat Dye, Davis Love III, and I think Jack Nicklaus, I think. 40 was more fun for me, or as fun, as my 21st. Embrace it.
I have not peaked yet. I can't give you an age that was the best.
You're peaked in high school,
guys. I peak every year.
No, I didn't peak in high school. I told you, from 35 to 45 was pretty good in my life. That's the bar I've set for myself to move on. So, all right, so tonight we got the National League Championship Series on?
Yeah, that starts at 7:30, so we'll hear Mike Greenberg interviews until then.
Trying to keep people listening. Well,
I can't do anything about that.
Well, the reason, and people are asking, they text in, the reason why Greeny's doing the podcast is because if we didn't, Chris would have to go to the baseball game in the middle
mid-game
of the game.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for Chris?
Yeah.
For Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Kudos to me. Another stellar job as usual. Have a good night, Southwest Florida. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.